Welcome to Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections through the commonality of parenting, exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics. Jessica Turlick is back for a second time on the podcast after first jumping in episode 7. This chat takes a different path to our first, with us diving into the impact personal development can have on a person's life, especially a parent. We chat about what giving more choice to our children can do for the family, along with insights to how we can improve a parent-teacher relationship from someone who is a parent, and you guessed it, a teacher as well. Let's jump in. Jessica, it is awesome to have you back on the Sounding Board Parenting Podcast. I think we had you on for the first time on episode 7, which was awesome. And from what I can remember, we had a little Rob join us towards the end as well. So I'm looking forward to maybe some surprises popping out here as well. And
No doubt. Yeah. He will be. Yes, that's for sure.
I'm looking forward to expanding on what we first started to talk about. And just to get things rolling and to see how things are with you as well, what if anything has changed for you, Jessica, since the last time that we chatted?
Yes. Well, thank you, Sean, for having me back. Because even when you were just saying that episode 7, like coming back to then, I think obviously we've gone through the whole COVID isolation, non-isolation, and obviously all the restrictions are coming out. So in terms of that, and I'm sure like lots of your listeners as well would have gone through, is that just has slowed down life for me, you know, able to reflect a little bit more and in terms of my house, my home and my children, and assessing like where I am with them, how I'm going about things with them, am I happy, are there certain things that maybe I can improve upon and so on. And most of all, I've just really enjoyed having that quiet time at home with them. So we've been making lots and lots of memories. So I'm sitting here pretty happy today.
That's awesome. Have you learned anything new about yourself as a parent since we last chatted? You started to dive into it there, I think.
Yes, because I think this gave me the opportunity to actually celebrate how, because last year I went through quite a lot of reflection processes about how my parenting was going and so on with the kids getting that little bit older. But it was an opportunity for me to celebrate how I have almost noticing the time and effort that I had put into our house and our home and creating that safe space for the children, but at the same time with my relationship with them as well and the conversations and the things that I put in place. So little simple thing just to share that we do little family meetings. So Ben, my husband, he still gets a bit like, oh, it's a bit funny and so on. But the children now know the process of a family meeting. So all I have to say to them, okay, like Ava and Rob, we're going to do a family meeting. We all sit down. We actually do hold hands, but that's just for their physical connection. And then I just say, okay, look at each other in the eyes. So they look at each other in the eyes. I look at them in the eyes. And that just, you know, just to have that another level of connection as such. And then I ask them, I say to them, well, today we're going to be doing a few different things, but I want to know from you first, what would you like to do today? So obviously being a little bit more restricted in what we were doing, we were staying at home a lot more and I needed to look for different opportunities to keep them engaged, but and also have them have opportunities where they could go and have independent play. And I think as like parents with them at home, we had to make sure that they were occupied and that their mental health was okay. And I think we felt like it was going to be impacted a lot more than what it actually was, because the kids, I think majority from what I've heard as well, kids actually enjoyed the time. So going back to that meeting, checking in with them and seeing what they want from the day and listening out to it and giving them an opportunity to have a voice. So having that simple procedure in place and now knowing that they can do it was just so, I think, rewarding. And that's why I wanted to celebrate it, because giving them the voice during the time, especially when we had so much time to fill in, and them saying, well, I would really like to do this, or I really enjoyed this the other day, can we do it again? And then I noticed that over time, because, you know, you've got to have lots of days where we are at home, over time they would then build upon their, like it would go from the normal activities that they wanted to do to then something more complex, or they would say, oh, now, like they would use their imagination a lot more. But I wouldn't have known that if I didn't give them the space to actually give their thoughts or their space to actually speak. So that was something that I found really rewarding. And then actually celebrating, acknowledging that, you know what, these things that I have been putting in place now that the kids are getting older are really paying off. So yeah. Go me, hey? Go me.
That is awesome. No, that sounds really cool, like in terms of what's changed for you. And what I can hear in that were two things that stood out to me. Was one, giving Rob and Ava choice. I want to acknowledge you for that as well. From my point of view, I think that is awesome from parent to parent. And the other part of that in terms of allowing them to explore. And it's really interesting you mentioned that. I'm writing an article at the moment for the Sounding Board Parenting blog around getting out of the way, and just on the concept of just being able to get out of the way. But it can apply to so many different scenarios. It can be to ourselves, it can be to the workplace, but I see it being really integral in terms of what you're describing there as a parent, in terms of being able to get out of the way of our children in a lot of scenarios where we believe that we're placing them in the best environments, the best environments that we believe are the best environments, but the emphasis there is that we believe it, instead of allowing them to explore, to experience, to discover self in a lot of ways. So that I just see so many benefits in that, and it's awesome to hear that it's taking shape for you in a lot of ways.
When you were talking then, I just wanted to add on as well, how often do we feel the pressure or the need or the expectation to structure the day for the kids as well? Like, I don't know if that's come from when we first get them home from the hospital and it's, you know, it's based around when they need feeds and when they need the nappies changed and when they need to go to sleep and so on, and it just progresses. And then we structure it because all of a sudden we've got these little people that have got their own minds, and we feel like we're in more control if we have more structure around it. And then they get a little bit older and all of a sudden you can realize, well, actually they can structure and they can do things for themselves. So it's taking that back. And I think I know a lot of content that's been out there at the moment has spoken a lot about coronavirus and the isolation and all that. And it's just one of these times that I'm obviously talking about it and we've just gone through it. So I still think there's relevance in the sense that we've been there was a situation where we were forced into all of a sudden having these days free as such, but then filling them and thinking about, well, what's the best, and we structure them. So if I just take a little bit of a detour of when parents were thinking or had to homeschool, and all of a sudden they're going, well, how can I do that when I've got to work and so on? And so what's our first go-to? It's to actually structure and plan out our day. So a lot of the people that I was working with during that time was to say, well, instead of thinking about it that way, actually have the opportunity to speak with your children about what they want, think about what you need and want as well, and then sort of fix it all into the day. It doesn't have to be so structured. It can be free-flowing as well, because that is when you do get the opportunities, or the children get the opportunities to express, create and explore.
What I'm hearing there, or a word that's coming out when you were describing that, was alignment. Very, very aligned with where you're at the moment, when you are in that state of flow or harmony, if you like, as well. It's being alive in a full, fulfilling way. And fulfillment can come in all different forms. A lot of the times we think of fulfillment as being when we are feeling good about something, but fulfillment can be experienced in some of our most challenging times too, in terms of what we're describing now. Coronavirus and the restrictions and lockdown and the pandemic is different all over the world, and everyone is experiencing it in their own way, and no two people are going to be experiencing it the exact same, like anything. And it's amazing how many people I've talked to, including yourself now, where I can hear a lot of people are finding alignment during times like this, which I think is awesome and very insightful as well.
Last time
that we talked, we touched on a lot of different topics in a really rapid format, which was awesome, and that's what I love about these conversations. I'd love to dive deeper into your journey as well, in terms of how becoming a mum has changed your life. And I know we touched on it last time, but I know when we've talked before, you've talked about being a mum or becoming a mum has been a catalyst in a lot of ways for where you are now. I'd love for you to expand on that.
Yeah. And then like we're just talking about before we actually officially jumped on, so it was Ava's birthday yesterday. So I don't know about you and your wife and that, but when birthdays come, I normally go on, go back on the journey of like, what was I doing this time, you know, 6 years ago or 5 years ago, you know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. And it was very, very vivid, the memory when Ava was one. I could remember what had happened the previous year when she was born as such. And then when she came into two, when she was two, same thing again. I could remember three, maybe some details started to get missed a bit. Probably even the remembering how the actual process was, and I probably put a little bit more of a positive spin on it. Maybe perhaps when she turned four, I was like, oh yeah, I can still remember the memories. Last year was probably a little bit less, sorry. And then for the first time this year, I was like, you know what, I actually cannot remember. The only memories that I can remember are the ones that I probably repeated a few times where I was in labor all day and, you know, all those sorts of things. And then instead of having those conversations with Ben, like about, oh, remember this and remember that, it was more about last, and especially last night, I just said, wow, I am a totally different person to what I was 6 years ago. So I think that's where it touches on with your question. And look, you don't have to have children, I'm sure, to look back and have a look at where you were 6, 5, or 6 or 10 years ago, because that's all about being a lifelong learner, isn't it? It's progressing and growing and changing as such. But like you mentioned, having Ava and therefore becoming a mum was a huge catalyst because of the trajectory that I was in before I fell pregnant. And that was very career-based and very expectation-driven. And perhaps I wasn't aware of where those expectations were coming from. They may have been created by myself. However, I felt like they were shaped by outside influences, which is totally understandable and a whole different conversation in itself. But when I became a mum, the expectations had to be from me, because now I wasn't listening from everyone else, because I had to look at, well, what am I going to create for Ava, and what type of mum do I want to be? What type of person do I want to be? And one of my biggest underlying personal philosophies is all about leading by example, because I don't like, and especially even with teaching, you know, you do your health lessons and you talk about how smoking's bad, and then yet other people that are teachers perhaps are smoking, and you're just going, you're educating, but you're not leading by example. And I understand it's totally personal preference and so on and everyone's history. But for me personally, my philosophy is leading by example and being the best version of yourself as such. And I really wanted to do that for Ava. And we all know as a parent, when we go in that first year, it's a huge, absolute abomination of all these things coming at you. it is everything. And perhaps in that first year, I didn't get really clear on who I was and so on, but I was put in lots of stressful situations. And I've obviously dealt with stress in different environments before, but the level of stress and the different types of stressful situations you experience as a parent and as that I experienced put me in unknown territory. I was outside of my comfort zone, because especially being like thinking, well, I'm a teacher, I should know how to nurture and grow and develop a child. Like, I do this all the time as my job. But when it's such a little person and it's your own little person, it's a completely different ball game. So I had to then reassess, I think, within this, between the first and the second year, really get clear on myself and really get clear on my values and assess where my values are coming from. So were they coming from previous parenting? Was it coming from things that I've heard, researched, and so on? And any information that I found, like I had pockets missing, I would then go and research and investigate. And I think that in itself was my beginning of my own personal development journey, because I was professionally learning before that, but not personally learning about myself. So Ava was my catalyst to start looking inward and look at myself. and go beyond, oh, I want to lose weight and this is the way I look and so on. I wanted to see how I was feeling on the inside and what was actually happening. So, yeah, big changes over 6 years.
Thank you for being so open and honest about that. And I'd love to know, what does reflection mean to you, Jessica?
Reflection, I love it. So I think there's two levels of reflection, right? You've got your quick, instant, very surface level. This is how I'm feeling. What does that mean? And where does it come from? And then I think you've got reflection as a deeper process where you can go, well, what does that mean? And then what does that mean? And then what does that mean? And really taking it back and stripping back all the layers, and like the Shrek analogy of like Shrek the ogre being an onion, and there's lots and lots of layers to it, right? So reflection can be a quick instant process where it's almost like problem solution based, and then what can I learn from that? And then deeper process can be, right, this is the reason that this has happened, but why did that happen, or why did I react in that way? And then perhaps then going another level deeper and asking the same sort of question again. Not necessarily a different type of question, the same question again, because I think as our conscious mind leads quite often in our thought process, it's going to throw at us that what we want to hear or what we think it's going to be. But when we start stripping it back and keep questioning, all of a sudden our conscious mind's going to run out of answers, and we're going to strip back to that next level or that next layer.
I need to take a second there just to let that sink in. Wow.
I always like doing that to people. Very thought-provoking, hey?
Definitely. That's what this is about. I'm feeling a lot of connection right now and a lot of deep thought in terms of what you were talking about there, the differences between the conscious and unconscious mind. I'm definitely diving into that realm of deep thought. And just in terms of what you were talking about before around leading and inspiring, I think it's an awesome segue in terms of what you are doing in the business world, and I definitely admire yourself as an entrepreneur, along with being a parent, along with being a partner as well. And I'd love to dive into that space in terms of how are you being a present mum? How are you being a teacher that is focusing on creating an awesome learning experience for your students? And then how are you running and growing this teacher wellbeing company called Lead and Inspire?
Yeah, I think also that was one of the things, like you mentioned in our last conversation with each other, lots of rapid things going at it. But I like to use the analogy of like I wear lots of hats and I take an opportunity to put the hat on and do what I need to do, and then I take that hat off and then I pop it back on. So there is sometimes where I get jumbled up and I keep the hats on all at once and then realize that weighs me down and it's not helping or serving anyone as well. And definitely over the last 3 years, the journey hasn't been so smooth sailing. Like there's been times where perhaps I wasn't as present as what I would have wanted to be, but then going through that experience and realizing, well, you know what, this actually matters more. So then I flipped it over. And I think that links to what I was discussing at the start of today's conversation, is about how like a year ago or 18 months ago, I was really going, you know what, this is not what I want. This is not the type of mum I want to be. That reflection process then ignited into what strategies do I want to put in place, or processes in the sense of creating my home the way I want it to be, feeling for the children, and what type of mum I want to be in general. So that hat has adapted over time, definitely, because I am one of those people that and I'm learning not to be, because I know you can be more productive when you're not busy. But I've always been like, well, if I've got a bit of spare time here, how can I maximize that time, or how can I serve someone during this time? So in terms of running Lead and Inspire, initially that was because I had this greater pull inside me that I was like, I need to do more, I want to do more, and I can do more, and I've got all this value that I want to add to the community, and I can really support a lot of people in a bigger way, a higher impact, I suppose. So the best way to do that was something for me to create and put out into the world. And then, like, I don't know if you've experienced as well, but then going into the 3-6 month mark and realizing, well, hang on a second, I've actually got to do like the bookkeeping, and I've got to do some marketing things, and I've got to, you know, so it's not just the creative process anymore, or the adding value, or the things that I really enjoyed. It was all about the other things that go into the business. And then once we get over to that bit, then it was the stage of, oh, okay, now I've got to actually earn money to keep this going as well. Like, if I want to express myself creatively and share and add all this value, I've got to have the money coming in as well. And then that's when I found that I was stepping into a fear-based approach. And that's when I looked probably desperate, when I was sending messages to people and encouraging people to do things or check this out and so on. Now, they can all be proactive strategies, don't get me wrong, but the place that I was coming at was from a desperate point of view. So therefore, that energy would have transpired across, and therefore I wasn't getting the results I wanted as well. So that took, and once again, reflection process. I was like, well, why isn't this working? Why am I feeling this way? This is not the way I want my business to feel, and it's certainly not the way that I want to feel, because I know as the mum in this household, if I'm feeling that way, it's going to be, that energy is going to be around my children as well. So I definitely don't want that in my home. So then that's when you take the step back and go, okay, so what is this? What is the purpose of this? Why am I doing this? And then in comes my teaching and my job and my career as a teacher. And then I had to look at that. Well, look at this, and let's talk about the hats again. Excuse me. So the hat that I'm wearing as a teacher, I had to assess then, like, why am I doing this? What am I getting out of it? And then what value am I adding as being a teacher? And then I thought, well, look, if I'm analysing those two capacities, that's when I'm going to be looking at it as a mum. What am I doing? What is the purpose of this? What value am I getting out of it? So when I was able to establish all those sorts of things, that's when I realised that, you know what, my business is the way that I can express myself creatively. I'm not an artist. I can't paint. I can paint. I shouldn't say I can't paint. I express myself through words. I express myself through speech, even today, maybe not one of my strengths. I express myself through words, but I express myself through connection with people and teaching. So educating as such, but that's my outlet, I suppose, where I can do that through my business. And then I feel like I'm adding value. And I don't want it to come across as in like I'm doing this, so then I get the feeling back on myself either. But I think it's worthwhile acknowledging that we do good things for other people because it does make us feel good as well. So I suppose there's that to look at it in the sense of it just fills me or fulfills, which is what I think we spoke about that just before we did the pre-talk, but it's fulfillment to be able to add value to others. And I was doing it in a different capacity to what I was then doing at school. So then I was looking at, well, what skill set am I using at school as a teacher that I'm not able to access in my business? And then I realized that was something that was feeding my soul as well. And that is why I'm in that space still. And then when I come into being a mom as such, that's fulfilling me in my own in a different way. And maybe that's more of a love and nurturing approach and that natural instinct. But then when you put all three of those together, that is when I feel like I'm fulfilling my whole self. So whether, and I've been questioning this a lot from other coaches, why can't I just do one and fulfill myself in the one? But I think it's because, like all humans, I'm complex. And so sometimes complex things need complex ways or solutions. So that's where I've approached it all and being able to feed it all to them.
I want to acknowledge you again for how in tune you are with what I would call your innate intelligence or that intuition. That is what's coming through right now, I think, in terms of just being, it sounds like you're starting to become very clear right now in this moment on what gives you energy, which I think is awesome.
Yes. Yes. And I love how you touch on those terminologies of energy and intuition and you know, like there's so many things that we can learn from by being okay with using those terms and understanding it. And this is going to be something completely different, but just thought that how I have been going through over the last couple of days with the form of energy as such. And because when we look at what we're all composed of, it's exactly the same as what all our surroundings are made up of. So therefore, if you're looking at the fact that little atoms and they're therefore touching, so whatever is next to me, I am touching, but then that is a big chain of things that is then therefore touching whatever is like 5-10 meters away. And then if we continue that on, those atoms are still touching each other and they're connected and it just spreads everywhere, right? So I want to make sure that I am putting out my energy. And if you look at it from my heart space, I want that energy to go outwards. And we can look at as small as our individual, but then also looking at our home base and the people that are in our home. But then it's the people that we come into contact when we're out there. So, and it all links back to that's the reason why I want to lead and inspire. I want to lead by example because that energy is then going to be transferred to who else is out there. And you don't need to have, this links to a podcast that I was listening to this morning as well, with technology and social media. So we've had a lot of extra time on our hands, and I suppose one of our go-to entertainments or way to escape can be scrolling through social media and so on, right? So I could be a person, and I don't have any issues with anyone that does do this. It's more the fact that I find find that if I was to document every minute of my day and pop it up on social media, the purpose of that is to actually show others and add value. But then for me, it would be then going more from what my purpose focus on, and it's more about value to others. Whereas in my home with my children, I don't documenting because I need to be my purpose or my focus to be present with them. So it means that I remember my purpose of why am I doing it, and I'm assessing, well, where do I actually want my attention to go to? So looking back at the energy and making sure that my energy is where I want it to be, I know that it's going to be focusing on making sure that everything around me is also flowing out, because you never know the effects of what that is going to be inside of you. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to add to it as well. It's okay to not always have positive or happy energy, because not just us, we're having human experiences. Like, it can't always be, I'm a very happy and positive person, but it can't always be happy and positive, because you need to have the other side of it. If you don't have the other side of it, then you're not going to be able to identify when you are happy and positive. And also, I think it's a really good thing as a parent to be able to model and demonstrate that for your children, because they're going to be going through the same human experiences.
Yes, I'm nodding right now for all those that aren't watching, because it definitely resonates in a big way in the form of, we were talking about it before with fulfillment, is often conceived as when you are at your best. With that being said, though, fulfillment can actually be experienced through our most challenging times, through adversity, through times that we don't actually have much at all, and we hear stories like that over and over again, and it just gets caught in a bit of a miscommunication, I think, at times. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. That's something I've just taken down a bunch of notes on, and I hope all of our listeners are getting some value out of that as well. And I really admire the wearing of different hats that you were describing before in terms of your different roles. And I think that's a really good segue in terms of our first chat. You mentioned the role you play first and foremost in your life is being yourself. So as a parent, how important do you think it is to look after yourself and concentrate on your own personal development?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the four founding priorities of the Lead and Inspire community, is that you need to be focusing on yourself, because if you're pouring from an empty cup, which we've heard so many times before, that's when you're experiencing burnout, and you may be able to push through that and you may be able to continue on with that, but then think about what exactly are you pouring out of your system into others. And we want to be able to serve and give more to others, so we need to make sure that we are pouring out is of the highest value, and the only way we can get of the highest value is to take time for ourselves. So this has obviously evolved over time, because when you first have a newborn, sometimes the time's not there necessarily, or the focus is not there, because we are focused so much on keeping this little person alive as such. And the simplest thing of being able to have a shower can be the most rewarding thing in itself. So that's how simple things can be so rewarding and recharge you so much as well. So if you think about that initial feeling, the renewal and the energizing, it doesn't have to come from big days out at day spas or complete days off from doing anything. It can just be little pockets of things you do throughout your day to recharge you. So I like to call them daily rituals. And if you want to be a little bit more structured and planned because you feel like it's not so natural, it's like a lot harder for you to pop that into the day, or perhaps you may see that you don't have enough time to even do that, separating them up into morning rituals, daily rituals, and nighttime rituals. So, Sean, when do you brush your teeth, for example?
Morning and night. Just
before. Okay. And do you have a set time when you do that?
It's definitely part of my sleep routine in terms of before I go to sleep. Yeah, so it's probably 20 minutes before I go to bed.
Yeah. And this has been a habit as such that's been placed on you from a young age?
Yeah, I'd say so. Taught by parents, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, and then are you teaching it to your little man?
I've actually been slack in the teeth brushing department, to be totally honest. It's definitely
something. Oh, I didn't want to call you on that.
It's definitely something. Well, how's this? My partner Jess works in the dental industry. She's a little bit more switched on than I am. The morning part of the routine, though, that is something that we do together. Not so much the night routine, because he's usually gone to bed by then. But yeah, I am teaching it to him in a way, I suppose.
Yeah. So if we can look at that as an example of when we look after ourselves and put that into pockets of the day, we are then leading by example for our children, because we want our children to look after themselves, don't we? We perhaps don't want to. So we parent in the way that we look at what we liked about our parent, like how we were parented. We take the bits that worked well, that didn't work well, right? Or correct, and then we then establish our own way that we parent. There will be that we from our parent we notice maybe perhaps they work late or spend time with them on the weekend or so, and that would transpire into a major focus what we want to do as a parent. We felt like we were missing out on something, and therefore we want our child to miss out on that, so we're going to make sure we put that in place and it's a priority, and therefore it happens probably a little bit more so. One of my underlying things is that I want to make sure that because I've burnt myself out before, I don't want Ava and Rob to burn themselves or to see that they have to work really hard to get the things that they want in life. Because now that I've learned over time is that it's not necessarily working harder, it's working smarter or having different ways that you can go about it. So coming back into the self-care sort of side of it, when meditation, for example, is one of those key things that I have a lot of clients say to me, I just don't have time to do. First, I question them on, well, do you actually want to have a meditation practice? Or is it that coming from that place of that you feel like you're expected to have it? So once we establish, and if they truly do want that, you know, that mindfulness time, that calming of the body, calming of the mind and so on, then we look at something as initial as when in your day can you fit that in? Can it be in the morning? Can it be in the daily routine? Or can it be in the evening routine? And having a little play around with it. And then the next question is, oh, I would love to do it first thing in the morning, but that's when my kids need me the most, right? We have the conversation about that's because the kids are really excited to see you because they've been sleeping and you're the person there that they can engage with, so therefore they're going to be excited. But that's when you can invite them to do it with you. And yes, they may crawl around on you, or yes, they may jump, or yes, they might keep nagging for breakfast. But if you just hang in there and show that this is what mummy does every morning, or this is what daddy does every morning, or maybe a couple of mornings out of the week, you don't need to be really stuck on the rituals as such, then you're then showing them, okay, this is the norm. This is something that we do to help ourselves, or this is something we do to recharge ourselves or keep ourselves calm. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of times I've said to my kids, you need to give me an hour, just give me an hour for my workout. Do you want grumpy mummy? Do you want angry mummy? Do you want snappy mummy? Or do you want mummy that feels really happy and like calm? And then of course, what are they going to want? And some people like go, oh, like, would you really want to say that you're going to be a grumpy mummy? Well, I'm sorry, but sometimes I can be grumpy. If I haven't had my little outlet, then I'm going to be a little bit grumpy. Now, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to snap or lash out or anything by any means, but I know to make sure that I'm not that type of mum, that I need to have that time where I exercise and get all my energy out. I'm a very energetic person, or I feel like I need to do that for myself. So same thing comes into that self-care. Not only do you want to show your children that it is a good thing to do self-care, but then you are in yourself filling your own cup. So when you go to pour that out to and the people around you, you're actually giving them yourself or your value.
Time for a short reflection break. This is an opportunity for you to stop, take a breath, and reflect on your past week as a parent. If you have a pen and paper near you, that's great. If not, simply use your phone or laptop. I want you to write down three things. First, write down one moment in the past week that you were proud of yourself as a parent. Second, write down one area of your parenting that you would like to improve for the next week. Third, write down one moment from the past week where your child or children have made you smile. Be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Yes, like actually putting time and energy into yourself through osmosis is naturally going to flow on in a lot of ways. And that experience together is just going to be even more enjoyable. And you started to talk about expectations through that too, which I thought was really cool. And that's potentially another rabbit hole, because it's actually only been in recent times that I personally have realized the big difference between having an expectation and having an intention, which you started to talk about expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that can be valuable. I found it personally valuable. And following on from that, I'd love to get your opinion, both personally and professionally, on the world of coaching. We're talking about personal development right now. Do you believe coaching could be a way to experience personal development in a big way? What's your personal thoughts and opinions on that?
Yeah, this is one of the driving factors of why I wanted to become a coach and not just a presenter and a speaker or community leader, because coaching is like a safe first step almost. That first, you get to pair up with someone and be able to be guided on a journey, but you are the driver, right? You're still the driver of this journey. This person is just enabling you and guiding you and questioning you and stripping back those layers, right? So coaching allows you to have that safe place for you to achieve results in a quick amount of time. Because we can, if we're already dabbling or stepping outside the comfort zone of like personal growth and development, we will be on that journey anyway. Because you're going to, you know, the information's flying at us on our phone. In terms of having a coach, that whole process is accelerated. You will get people interested in coaching, and you'll get people that are not interested and couldn't think of anything else, like they would prefer like to not do it altogether, right? They are not the people that need to be coached because they're not ready for that part of their personal development journey as such. They might not even have started. The people that enter into the personal development journey and they're ready for that accelerated experience, having a coach there, which is your ultimate cheerleader, but also safe space creator. They create this environment for you to explore, experiment, question, and most of all, get those thoughts from out of, like, it's inside your head. This conversation, this dialogue's inside your head. You know what it's like when you just say it out loud. You just go, oh, wow, is that the way it actually sounds? So just in that process in itself, and having someone on the other side that is very neutral, but also very supportive of you, can be so much more therapeutic in itself. But that is where the magic really happens, because this person is trained to actually guide you on that journey, and you are still in control. That's a really important bit. You are still in control of that journey and that where you want to go with it. So, yeah, when you first learn how to be a coach as well, they go through all the definitions, right, of like what a counselor is, what a psychologist is, what a coach is, what, you know, all these people that are of service and helping in that realm. And the thing that I like about the fact that coaches, the philosophy comes from the fact that the person that is there is the one that is empowered. Our whole aim is to empower that person or be empowered. And so you're in that process, you are empowered because you are the one that is at the driver's, like at the steering wheel. Therefore, you are the one that can enforce change. It's all well and good to have someone tell you what is best for you, and that's when the expectations come on, but you're not going to be making change or be part of a change management process because you're not the one that wants that change and you're not the one that is putting forward those ideas of that change. In a coaching environment, you are the one that is coming up with the strategies, processes. Of course, by all means, some coaches will give you some ideas to draw upon, but ideally, you are the one that is empowered for that journey.
That is really cool. I haven't thought about coaching in that way, in terms of just simply being able to have someone there consistently holding a space for you. And just in terms of what you said in that last bit there around some coaches will provide ideas, and something I have always enjoyed about the world of coaching is, to me, it essentially breaks down into two parts, is being able to brainstorm, being able to dream big, and then being able to have someone there as well that is going to challenge you at times. And that's probably in that action space. And the other vital role that I think a coach can play, not always, but can play, is accountability, in terms of being able to hold that space to allow you to dream big, then to be able to hold that space for you to develop actions on your own as a coachee, but then to be able to put in a system, whatever you want to call it, a process from an accountability point of view, that is simply there consistently. Because to be honest, we have these types of relationships, these coaching relationships with a lot of people, whether it be our partner, whether it be our friend, whether it be another relative, a colleague even as well. But it's quite inconsistent. Well, that's been my experience anyway, in terms of those conversations. Like, and that's where I see the benefit in coaching, is just that consistent holding of space, brainstorming, dreaming, actions, and accountability. And I could hear it big time through what you're saying. So I can only imagine what benefit your clients are experiencing. Again, not from what you are doing, but more so how you are being with them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that space, that creating space, is the most, I think, valuable thing.
Would you say your partner in life, your husband Ben, is into personal development as well, in a similar way as you, in terms of his journey and where he's come along?
So, yeah, I think this is always a really important conversation to have, because when we're individuals, we always are on our own personal development journey. However, those journeys can happen at different rates and at different speeds. And it could be one of those, I don't even know if there is research out there. So it could be one of the factors that actually can cause the most friction in a relationship as well, because it's all about changing, right? When you first meet, you're in a state of consistency, but then all of a sudden, when it's over a period of time, there's going to be change happen, but the rate that the change happens can be one that is at the same pace or at varying speeds. And if one is on a personal development journey, especially if they come down the coaching sort of side of it and being coached or looking into different things, their speed might be a lot faster than their partner. So that is definitely what happened between Ben and I, because if we look at that initial catalyst for me, was having Ava and becoming a mum, and then that personal development journey really kicked in. For Ben, when he became a father, through his own experience, a totally different one, because and look, you know, I would love to speak for him, but obviously I wouldn't be able to, but my perception of his journey was he was going down that provider path of, how can I provide for my family now? You know, those really stereotypical male expectations of what you now do as a father. And so his journey went a different way. And I actually, you know, stumbled across, which I think, I don't know, maybe majority of women do when they're at home and they all of a sudden feel like they need to help provide as well. So I did a network marketing thing, and that can bring out the worst, but it can also bring out the best as well in people. And for me, it was one of those things where I was going on a journey that perhaps Ben didn't like as much, or didn't really, he just didn't see why I was doing it, because he needed to provide and so on, and all I needed to do was be at home and look after Ava. So that aside, I learned from that I needed to invite him on the journey that I'm on. I can't tell him what I would like, and I can't tell him what to do because he's his own person, but I can invite him on the journey. But at that point in time, I just put that on the shelf as such. I didn't think much of it and didn't act on it. And it wasn't until I then came full steam around a personal development journey and let go of the network marketing, and then got back to what I was focusing on, had Rob as such, and then was looking at, well, what type of impact do I actually want? And I made sure I had the conversation. So a lot of the things I was doing beforehand, like journaling, pulling oracle cards, pulling affirmation cards, things that I would watch and listen and see and so on, I wouldn't say anything to Ben. It would be my own personal work. And at first I thought it was because I was just keeping it secret for me. It was all about me. But it was actually because I was worried about what he would think or what he would say or what, you know, what like reaction I would get from him. And we always have a joke, and I'm sure I said it in the last one, about how like I don't like people looking at my to-do list, because on my to-do list I quite often would have all those self-care practices but also those personal development practices, and I didn't want anyone to know what I was doing as such, because not that I was ashamed or anything, I was worried about their reaction. So when I knew that I was about to enter, and I think it comes back into intuition, but also being reflective on what did I learn last time, when I was about to embark on my next level in my personal development journey, I said to Ben that, you know, this is what I've been doing. I haven't felt comfortable saying it to you. And you know what? He's like, yeah, I know you do all that. And we just refer to it as my crazy stuff, right? It's changed now. It's all about my writing. But he had an awareness of what was going on. He just didn't have perhaps the understanding. So it was the conversation about like, this is what I do. This is why I like it. And this is where it, like, this is where I see it going. Then fast forward to when perhaps I then started talking about it a lot more, like that communication line was open. So then I would be going, oh, today I listened to this and I saw this. And, you know, it's like from his perspective, he would have just been bombarded with a lot of things, especially with the way that my mind goes. And listeners will probably understand that just even by the way I'm talking as well, jumping from here and there. So he would then, I think, be a little bit fearful of, well, where's she going with all of this? Because this information is just like out there. Like, what is she? And there was some and almost he discussions about, like, he was concerned, worried, and it was very fear-based. And then I was sort of like annoyed as such, because I was like, you're not listening to me. You don't get it. You don't get it. And then we both had to go away and be reflective upon the fact that he had to trust that I wasn't going somewhere down a path that he perhaps didn't feel comfortable with. And you know what, on the side of it, it's okay if I was going down a path that he wasn't comfortable with, because that's all part of being in a partnership, in a relationship anyway. And then you've got me realizing that, well, hang on a second, I'm just expecting him to be on this journey because I love it and I'm excited by it. And, you know, he doesn't have to be. This is his own journey as well. So when it came to becoming a coach and doing the learning, so I was committing myself to getting it done in a year to 18 months. So I knew that was going to be a really big focus and a lot of growth in that time as well. I actually said to him, would he like to train with me? Would he like to do it? And I explained, these are the reasons why I wanted you, like him, I would like him to be on it, like invite him on the journey with me. And the big driving factor was, I said to him that I'm going to be learning so much information. I would really like it for you to sort of understand what I'm going, like to be, rather than me come home and go blah, 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 you already know the conversation. So then I'm not going to be like this, 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 and this. And then I said, also, there's training days that are like on a Saturday and a Sunday, and we can get the kids looked after and it can be like our little weekend together, even though we're learning together, but we can have a night and, you know, make it a special experience that we go through together. The bonuses were obviously he gets like a half price rate and all that sort of stuff. So I worked to his strengths as such in the conversation, and he thought about it and then decided to do it, right? So he did it with me. And I still say, and I will continue to say, that was the best thing we ever did, because we had a strong relationship anyway before that. But doing that together, it just took us to a whole different level. And I was there obviously to become a coach because I wanted to do it from a business point of view as well as an upskilling. He was purely there, and he kept saying it to the presenters and the facilitators, I'm here because of my wife. I'm here for my wife. And you know what it's like in coaching, they're sort of going, oh no, like, you know, they're trying to dig deeper. And even I was like, no, babe, like surely there's another reason why you're here. There has to be, like, do this, right? And he was like, still to this day, he will say, I was there for you. I did this for you. And we're still unpacking all that. And that's a really interesting conversation in itself. But he then also says that because he's coming up to a year since he finished his NLP training, and it was really difficult and challenging for him in the sense that we had done all the other activities, all the other lessons and everything together, but this was the one practical thing that we had to do separately because one of us had to be at home with the kids because it's a whole like 7-day training. And he still says that was the most life-changing experience for him because he realized that he can do this sort of thing, or he, you know, he was challenged and he grew outside of it and could do it without, which was a big factor. So in terms of doing that together, right, us as parents, it's totally different level now because of the questioning, because we're thinking outside of what our actions and our conversation, how that's going to impact on them. Like, we're not coaching them from the point of like they're our coachee and we're the coach. It's that awareness around how we are at the forefront or so pinnacle to their journey that we want to encourage them to be on their own journey by themselves and know that we're there to guide them along the way, rather than being like, you must do this and this is what's going to happen next because this is best for you. We've already been through this journey and we want you to know how to do it really well. We're really, it's made us step back and go, well, we can actually create the space for them to be on their own journey themselves. So coming back to your initial question about when the partner, when you're on a personal development journey and where the partner's at with it, communication is so important, and just to open up and be afraid to show your own truth and what you are experimenting with. Be okay with perhaps maybe a bit of friction, because that in itself is personal growth and development. Be okay with that friction completely, but always understand that you are on your journey, you have your journey, and your partner has the right to be on their own journey as well. And then my third tip would definitely be about inviting them on it with you. If you know there's something that is really live up and will be of benefit, not only for them to go through it on a personal level, but it might be for the fact that it's best for your relationship if they come on this journey with you, then definitely invite them on that journey with you.
Wow. A couple of things that have come up from that for me from listening to you, which again, I appreciate how open and honest you've been, is one, you've got a very committed man in your life, I believe. And the second thing there that I think that is awesome from your point of view, or from what I could hear from your point of view, was providing that option, providing that choice, instead of making an expectation that Ben join you on that journey because it would be positive for your relationship or be positive for him. That there was no expectation there. It was an option. There was a clear intention behind it in terms of an internal focus for yourself, but it wasn't dependent on something external, i.e. Ben in this case, which I really, really admire. And to be honest, I think we may have just found our topic for our 3.0, our third episode at some point, because that is something I think we could really unpack and dive into as well. And I'm wary of time, so I just have a couple of more questions I'd love to ask before we wrap up. And this one I really wanted to ask because I see this as the million-dollar question for this podcast. And it's basically revolving around both your professional, your personal career, your professional journey, your personal journey. And a lot of children have just gone back to school and they started going back to school. There's some that are still not for their own reasons. But for those that have gone back to school and for everyone out there, how do we build as parents? How do we build a positive relationship with our child's school teacher? Because from my point of view, you as a person have seen this dynamic from multiple angles now. So I'm really interested in your perspective on this.
Yeah, because this could almost be the whole conversation for 3.0. So let me just think what's the clearest or quickest way. All right. Okay, my first thing is just to realize that the teacher is a person as well. And even though we don't have the same connection to your child as being the mother or the father, our connection with your child is pretty much up there as well. Like by the end of the year, it's almost like our children are leaving us again, right? And a good teacher is one that has been able to impart their value and their knowledge and their expertise in that year. So then the child is best prepared of where they could be in that point in time, right? So we have the capacity to have that connection with your child and generally want the same thing as what you want, because as a working group together, we just want the best for our children in the sense of as a teacher and as a parent. Parents want the best for their children and teachers generally want the best for their students, right? So in order to build in order to build a positive relationship with your child's teacher, it's got to be a working, so it's back and forth, but just looking at it from a different perspective is, first of all, be proactive in sense of having a conversation with your teacher, speaking with the child's teacher, your child's teacher. Communication is always very, very vital and important. And not to do it from a defensive point of view either. And also, I'm speaking on behalf of other teachers as well, because I'm sure that there will be times where you may feel like there's a defensive or a bit of friction in the relationship as well. But we're talking about from the get-go, we want to set up a positive reaction, right? We want to set up a positive relationship. So just saying, you know, just even just a general thing of conversation, of just understanding that we're both humans working together for the same outcome, and that is the best outcome for that particular child. And the next thing is decide what you want more of for your child, or what you want more from the relationship with your teacher. And rather than expect the teacher to provide it, maybe taking the initiative for you to provide it instead, right? So if you would like the teacher to contact you more regularly or to have more progress updates on your child, then perhaps one, you could have that conversation and have that meeting and discuss maybe why and so on. Or on the other side of it, be proactive in touching base regularly or sending that email or touching, you know, physically going, oh, so just want to check in, and almost scheduling that for yourself. So it's not an added thing. You know that perhaps maybe in week 7 or every term, you would just touch base with your child's teacher. Like it could just be as simple as that, setting that little bit of a reminder. On a little bit of, but one of the most important things that you can do is for your child in their education is to show a positive outlook on it, even though you may not necessarily feel positive about it, right? So if you are saying negative things about your child's teacher or the school or as education as a whole, that is going to be filtered through. And I know that's with a vast range of topics anyway, but that is going to filter through to your child as well. So have those conversations behind closed doors or where your child can't hear it or see it or be part of it. So back on the sense of connecting with your child and child's teacher and touching base, take that to be a little bit more proactive rather than reactive. And then also know that naturally, if you're going to be reaching out, you might find that your teacher will start going, oh, just wanted to update you and let you know, or just, you know, such and such, this happened today. And they will start reporting back some of the positives, especially if your child is having some challenges as such. You're going to have more of that as a back and forward relationship, because you took that first initial step to set the intention of what you wanted or what type of relationship you wanted. Third thing I want to mention is, and I'm not saying that you have to go all out and with all the bells and whistles and things like that, but just showing the gratitude, or, you know, being thankful, or just appreciating and showing that appreciation, because I'm sure a lot of people do appreciate their classroom teachers. However, there is just those little things that you can do to show appreciation and to thank your child's teacher. And just think about that positive energy that you're setting, like letting loose almost in that situation, and then you will see that come back around as well. That will really feed back around, and it's not about sucking up or being like a show pony or anything like that. It's just honest, human, genuine, grateful appreciation. That's all it is, and you will notice that relationship will come back around. From a personal, individual point of view, if you're noticing other people having different relationships with their teachers as what you are, like compared to what you are, don't be comparing yourself, because everyone has their own different way of going about things. About and establish how you want to set that positive relationship. So identifying the communication lines, working out a system about how you want to touch base, because if you're involved positively in child's education, then your child is also engaged in their education. And then, like I said, the third point is just showing that gratitude and that being thankful, because that will then come back and come back around to you. So
that is value packed. I appreciate the way that you were able to compact that in. I think you were right when you said that's definitely worth diving into further in a 3.0. maybe let's make it happen for sure. And and with that in mind, I just want to wrap up with, Jessica, what are you loving about parenting right now in this moment?
In this moment, well, I've got to give kudos to my little Rob, because he has not come in and he is independently playing. So that's a big win, isn't it? That's a huge win in this moment.
I don't know if it's a win or if I'm disappointed.
I know. I could call him in, but then I would be letting too much freedom into, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Maybe 3.0, we can get a bit of a cameo going.
We'll do like an interview with Rob first, and you can maybe ask him how he sees me. That I was going to tell your story then, but I'll hold that back. So yeah, we might do that, like the funny things that kids say. We can ask him what he thinks about me and my parenting style.
That sounds awesome. Let's lock it in.
It'll give you some time to train him and give him the strategies beforehand, hey? This is what you say when someone asks you what mummy's doing.
There'll be some curly questions, that's for sure, and some curly answers. I'm sure as well. Honestly, Jessica, this has been an epic chat. I've got several pages here in my journal full of notes and plenty more questions to dive into next time as well. I honestly really appreciate how generous you've been with your time on the Sounding Board Parenting Podcast, and hope you've got some value from it, and just want to send across my well wishes to yourself, Ben, Ava and Rob.
No, thank you, Sean. Thank you for creating the space for this conversation.
Thank you for listening. Personally, these interviews are providing me a time to reflect on my week as a parent. Let me know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As a new pod on the block, yes, dad jokes are welcome here, it would be great if you could look out for us and share this episode with someone that you think may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and show some love with a like, follow or comment. Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Steelo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From my heart to yours, I hope you are making progress on something you love and something that makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.